Samadhatta. Made it a point to fulfill. Bale of Bali Maharaj. Viprarshibhi. The best brahmanas. Saha. Along with. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "In this way, the most powerful Shukracharya accepted the Lord of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full respect." Accepted the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full respect. Along with the best brahmanas, he began to compensate for the discrepancies and the sacrifices performed by Bali Maharaj. Text 19. Evam Balir Mahim Rajan Bhikshitva Vamanohari Dadau Bhratre Mahendraya Tridivam Yatparahiritam. Translation. O King Parikshit, thus having taken all the land of Bali Maharaj by begging, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vamandev, delivered to his brother Indra all the land taken away by Indra's enemies. Texts 21 and 22. Prajapati Patir Brahma Devarshi Pitribhumi Pai Daksha Brigvan Giro Mukhyai Kumarena Bhavena Cha Kashya Pashyarite Prityai Sarva Bhuta Bhavaya Cha Lokanam Lokapalanam Akarod Vamanam Patim. Lord Brahma, the master of King Daksha and all other Prajapatis, accompanied by all the demigods, the saintly persons, the inhabitants of Pitri Loka, the Manus, the Munis, and such leaders as Daksha, Bhrigu, and Angira, as well as Kartikeya and Lord Shiva, accepted Lord Vamandev as the protector of everyone. He did this for the pleasure of Kashyapa Muni and his wife Aditi, and for the welfare of all the inhabitants of the universe, including their various leaders. 22 and 23. Veranam sarvadevanam dharmasya yashashashriyah mangalanam vratanam cha kalpam swarga pavargayoh upendram kalpayam chakre patim sarve vibhutaye Tara Sarvani Bhutani Bisham Mummudhire Nripa. O King Parikshit, Indra was considered the king of all the universe, but the demigods headed by Lord Brahma wanted Upendra, Lord Vamandev, as the protector of the Vedas, the principles of religion, fame, opulence, auspiciousness, vows, elevation to the higher planetary system, and liberation. Thus they accepted Upendra, Lord Vamandev, as the supreme master of everything. This decision made all living entities extremely happy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'll just like to read text 18 again. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, "In this way, the most powerful Shukracharya accepted the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full respect, along with the brahmanas, and along with the best brahmanas, he began to compensate for the discrepancies and the sacrifices performed by Bali Maharaj." So over the last few days, we have been hearing how Shukracharya, he hasn't actually... He hasn't actually condemned Bali Maharaj. In fact, when the Lord asked him what were the discrepancies that Bali Maharaj performed, or executed? What were the discrepancies in the yajna, in the sacrifice? He said there was none. There was no discrepancies. So Shukracharya was actually a very, very great personality. After Tamaharaprabhu's class a couple of days ago, there was a little discussion in the temple room as usual, and we were talking a little bit about Shukracharya, and even not just Shukracharya, but all these personalities who are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you look at the life of Shukracharya, in other parts of the Bhagavatam where he is described, we see, like in that pastime where Hiranyakashipu tortured his son Prahlad Maharaj, at the end, when the Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared and killed Hiranyakashipu, then after that, Prahlad Maharaj was crowned the king. But the personalities who did that, do you remember? Who are the ones who actually installed Prahlad Maharaj on the throne? Lord Brahma was one of them, and Shukracharya was the next. So he's actually a very, very powerful personality, and he, among so many powers that he has, is one of them called Sanjeevani. Sanjeevani means he has the power to give life. Like we remember in the churning of the milk ocean. Previously to that, there was a fight. There's always actually fights between the demigods and demons. Sometimes the demigods win, and sometimes the demons win. And we see some places where Srila Prabhupada described that when the demigods win is because they are very careful to worship their guru. And that's the same for the demons. When the demons worship their guru, they also become victorious. And there are times when Indra would become puffed up and he would disrespect his spiritual master and his elders, and the brahmanas are also described. When one becomes disrespectful to these personalities, these great personalities, then he loses all his powers. In the sixth canto is described there how Indra, how he lost it because he became disrespectful to Brihaspati, their guru, the guru of the demigods. Guru, Brihaspati is the guru of the demigods, and who is the guru of the demons from the Guru Kulis, Vaishnava Academy? Who is the guru of the demons? Yes, Haridas? Shukracharya, very good. So Shukracharya, who is the one we are actually talking about? So in the sixth canto, seventh chapter, it is described, once upon a time, the king of heaven, Indra, being extremely proud because of his great opulence of the three worlds, he transgressed the law of Vedic etiquette. Seated on his throne, he was surrounded by the Maruts and all the different, you know, demigods are mentioned here. The Maruts, the Vasus, the Rudras, Adityas, Ribhus, Vishvadevas, Sadhyas, Ashwini Kumars, Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, and so many other greatly persons. Also surrounding him were the Vidyadharas and the Apsaras and the Kinaras and the birds and the Uragas and the snakes and the so forth. All of them were offering Indra their respects and services. You can imagine how powerful Indra must be, because all these great personalities and demigods responsible for lots of different duties in the creation of the Lord, they're all offering him respects. And the Apsaras and Gandharvas, of course. The Apsaras, they are dancers, and the Gandharvas are singers. So over Indra's head was a white umbrella as effulgent as the moon, fanned by yak-tail whisks and served with all the paraphernalia of a great king, Indra was sitting with his wife. What was the name of his wife? Sachi Devi. So Sachi Devi, who occupied half the throne, when the great sage Brihaspati appeared in that assembly. Brihaspati, the best of the sages, was a spiritual master of Indra, and the demigods was respected by the demigods and demons alike. Nevertheless, although Indra saw his spiritual master before him, he did not rise from his own seat or offer a seat to his spiritual master, nor did Indra offer him a respectful welcome. Indra did nothing to show him respect. So when a great personality come in our presence, we have to show respect by bowing down, offering a seat, offering some water, or show some kind of respect. But here Indra is not doing any of that. And we see also in Ramaharshana Sutta and so many others who have suffered as a result and cursed and lost their opulences and so forth. And we'll see how Indra will lose everything as a result of disrespecting Brihaspati. So obviously there was a fight after that, because the demons are always in contact with what's happening, and they also know the strength of the demigods. So whenever they found out that the demigods are weak, then they say, okay, now we're going to fight. And they come and they ask for a fight, and of course the demigods, they don't refuse. Sometimes they would go and ask their guru. And of course, whenever they are weak, the guru, like in one case, in a couple of places, Brihaspati said, this is not a good time to fight. The demigods are very powerful now. They have the potency of the brahmanas and their guru on their side. They have a lot of blessings now. You are weak because you have done like this or done like that. So in this way, the demigods have won a few times. So in that war, right after that, in the sixth canto, they lost the fight with the demons. The demons have won. So then in order to regain it, what they thought they should do is, now Brihaspati is gone, they have to have a guru, they have to have someone that they can follow. So they were asked by Brahma to go find Vishwarupa. Vishwarupa was much younger, but he was very austere and very saintly, it is described. He was a son of Tvashta. But he was also a little bit inclined towards the demons. So Lord Brahma told him that go and approach Vishwarupa, and you can take instructions from him, serve him nicely, but you should know that he's also inclined towards the demons. He likes the demons. So it happened that was when the Narayana Kavacha shield was given and Lord Indra became powerful again. But then one day Vishwarupa, he gave the demons some remnants from the sacrifice, and so Indra got angry and he just killed him with his thunderbolt. So again, now he is killing the person who's supposed to be his guru. So anyway, for that he had to, the father of Vishwarupa of course was very angry, Tvashta, and he was also a great priest. So he was praying and he made this prayer to get an enemy of Indra who would kill Indra. But he made some mistake in the pronunciation and he got Vitrasura, who was a demon. And in actuality, he was a great devotee. Anyway, the Vitrasura at one point in the fight between Indra and Vitrasura, because Vitrasura was supposed to kill him. In the end, Vitrasura was killed by Indra. But at one point in the battle, it is said that Vitrasura swallowed Indra. But because he had the Narayan Kavacha shield protecting him, he was burped up, and then finally he was able to kill Vitrasura by the aid of Dadichi's bones. So then the Lord suggested to them that they make a truce, they make a peace with the demons right before the churning of the milk ocean. And so so that's what they did. And so the demons and the demigods, and the promise was that to the demons is that, okay, well, we'll be getting, you know, the nectar, you know, the drink of immortality. You'll become immortal. So they really liked the idea. So they all were trying to pull the Mandara mountain and so forth, you know, into the ocean, to churn the ocean. The hill was so heavy it fell on them, crushed so many of them. Lord Vishnu came on Garuda and helped them to do that. So they did the whole thing, and then finally all these substances were coming out. The Lord told the demigods, don't be attached to any of these items that will be churned out of the ocean. They'll be very wonderful items, some of them. There will also be the poison. Don't worry about the poison. Lord Shiva is going to drink that. And so in the end, the Lord came and saved the demigods by giving them the nectar of immortality. And then there was a fight, and the demigods won. Of course, Bali Maharaj was the commander-in-chief there also in that fight. Bali Maharaj was there, and Shukracharya was guiding him. And Shukracharya, afterwards, all the demons who were killed, he brought them back to life. Including Bali Maharaj, says that Bali Maharaj, he was struck by the thunderbolt of Indra, and he was unconscious, and he was anyway taken away from the battlefield, and Shukracharya brought him back to life. Shukracharya, he is also called Ushana. He's among the kavis, among the poets. Shukracharya is considered one of them. He had a daughter named Devayani, and around that time there was a king called Yayati. And King Yayati, he was the emperor of the whole world, and he was attracted to Shukracharya's daughter Devayani. But because there were different classes, different castes, he was not allowed to marry, but Shukracharya forced the issue and said, you have to marry her. So anyway, they got married. But then Devayani had a friend, Sarmishta, who was also attracted to the emperor. And she also got children. Shukracharya got very angry and cursed him. Don't play around with Shukracharya. So he cursed the king, King Ayati, to lose his youth. So he became old and impotent. And of course, King Ayati begged, please, I like my youth back, I like my potency back. And Shukracharya actually became a little kind towards him, said, okay, well, I cannot give it back to you, but you can ask one of your sons, one of your five sons, you can ask one of them to give you their youth, to exchange their youth for your invalidity. So the youngest son, Puru, did. Said, I will do that. It's amazing how in those days, you know, they could do like that. You know, imagine nowadays, you know, you're an older man and you say, you know, I like to change my youth, you know, and you ask your son, can I get your youth and you take my old age? Think anyone would accept that? So anyway, Puru did. So Shukracharya, he was a very, very, very powerful personality, and here we see the real in the section where we're looking at him. preventing Bali Maharaj from giving, you know, the 3 paces of land to Lord Vamandev. At that point in time, if anyone just read that section and don't read the others, you would think how sinful is Shukracharya and how you know, how much of a demon he is. And when you read this section here and you see a different personality, and in this part, in this one verse here, it is said, Lord Brahma and all the demigods accompanied by all the demigods, the great saintly persons, inhabitants of Pitri Loka, as well as Kartikeya and Lord Shiva, accepted Lord Vamandev as the protector of everyone. So all these verses here are describing that when you accept the Supreme Lord as a summum bonum, then you have the Supreme, when you have the Supreme Personality of Godhead on your side, then you're always successful. And here we see this is actually a fact that that Bali Maharaj is sacrificing everything to the Supreme Lord, and when the other demigods and so forth, Lord Brahma and so on, when they worship the Lord, then everyone becomes happy. That decision of the demigods and so forth to actually worship Lord Vamandev made the whole world happy. So there is a section where Shukadev Goswami is asked by Maharaj Parikshit, why is it, or how is it that Bali Maharaj, how is it that he is giving these 3 paces of land to Vamandev? At the beginning, in one of the summaries, it is described that that Maharaj Parikshit wanted to know, and there are times in the Bhagavatam when you will actually see how he will speak a story and then Maharaj Parikshit would listen to it, and then he would say, well, okay, stop for a moment instead of going further, tell me about this, and then Shukadev Goswami would repeat that. So this is one of those stories, and it's very wonderful. So are there any questions so far? Any questions or anything anyone would like to bring up? Okay, a question for the Guru Kulis. Who was the king of the demons? Yes. What's your name? Krishangi, sorry, I forgot your name. Yes, Krishangi. Bali Maharaj, and who was the king of the demons, I mean the demigods? Someone else. Huh? King Indra, very good. Now, where does King Indra live? On which planet? There is a loka somewhere, right? He lives on Indraloka? Yes, he lives on Indraloka. and Lord Brahma lives on Brahmaloka. Brahmaloka has another name. Who knows? Satyaloka. Alright, so you have some homework to do. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Krishna Swarup Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
As you mentioned that King Yayati has an attachment to Devayani, that was not the case. Actually, Yayati didn't want to marry her. But because out of kindness he pulled her out from the well by holding her hand, she said, this is the Panigrahanam, you already married me. So when he found out she was the daughter of Brahmana, Shukracharya, he was hesitating. And then Devayani told the whole story how she was cursed by the son of Brihaspati. That is the incident, you know, she had to tell the whole story, and because he cursed her that she will not be able to marry any Brahmana. She has to marry Kshatriya. That's why now you are my husband.
Right. And in those days, a Brahmin man would not get married. A Kshatriya man would not get married to a Brahmin lady. That was very clear in those days, that there's no mixture of the castes like that. Okay, Chubikram Prabhu.
Hari Bol. So Sukracharya said he's a great personality, but he's the acharya of the demons, right? And the demons, they're always inimical towards the devotees. They always opposing and wanting to fight them, and you know, so in some sense, you know, it seems a little conflicting there, really, because if he was really honest, I mean, he would have taken the side of the demigods, right? I mean, you want to explain a little more on that?
Well, the Bhagavatam describes many personalities and many sides, and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is such that one and one is two and one is one. So there are many things like that you will see. Prabhupada used the word simultaneously one and different. So many things you will see like that where, you know, like you have this is perfect, but then there is something that is more perfect and there is something that is most perfect. So all these things are there in, you know, in our philosophy in the Bhagavatam. So just like Hiranyakashipu is a demon, but we know that, you know, he is one of the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, and he is actually just playing a part. So when one who knows the full picture, then everything can be answered. Yes, Madan Mohan.
The word comes to mind is Nirmataranam Satam. Mm-hmm. That this Srimad Bhagavatam is for the Paramahansas that don't discriminate between friends and enemies. So in order for these leelas and all these lessons to take place, how could it be explained? Where would it be if there wasn't any opportunity to practice the devotional qualities for everything to come out? And then, of course, we're seeing here the principle, listening to your spiritual master is the potency of success, whether you're a demon or a devotee. So all these different things, as you're pointing out, that one and one is one, and one and one is two. So that this Nirmatsaram Satam is the aspect there that's being discussed. Yes.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, so we'll stop there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yes.